Good afternoon. It's 65 degrees in Richland Center at 1210. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. It was a full crowd with standing room only at last night's Richland Center City Council meeting, of which many live in the neighborhood of Story Field, to speak against a housing development on Story Field. Despite multiple past efforts to attract interest in the Story Field subdivision, the city has been unsuccessful in securing a viable housing development proposal until now. Developer Doug Enke signed a pre-development agreement with the city for construction of an 8-duplex zero-step housing project on city-owned land. To incentivize this much-needed housing, the city is offering to sell the land for $1, recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure responsibilities the developer is undertaking. In return, the developer agrees to construct all required public infrastructure, complete the project within 24 months of land transfer, meet all applicable design and permitting standards, and deliver zero-step accessible housing. The land offered at $1 is in lieu of the market value as it was previously acquired by the city for $1 from the school district. Tax revenue from the development is estimated to be between $100,000 and $140,000. A motion to approve the Story Field duplex incentive package, including the $1 land sale and terms outlined in the proposed pre-development agreement, was postponed to next month's meeting as members of the council would like more information on the proposal. In other action, following the completion of the city's hotel request for proposal process and review of proposals received, the Common Council directed staff to engage in negotiations with Cobblestone Hotel Development, LLC. A pre-development agreement was drafted outlining the city's proposed financial assistance and development terms. The package includes two primary components: tax increment financing assistance of $1,150,000, municipal revenue obligation issued on a pay-as-you-go basis and repaid from 85% of actual tax increment generated by the project. The MRO requires no minimum value guarantee and is capped at 10 years or until $1,150,000 is paid, whichever comes first. And the sale of city-owned property to the developer for $125,000. Additionally, the developer must secure all project investors and financing within 9 months of council approval. Upon council's approval of these terms, a formal development agreement is to be executed. City staff recommended approval of the Cobblestone Hotel's incentive package as outlined in the pre-development agreement. A motion to approve the Cobblestone Hotel's incentive package as outlined in the proposed pre-development agreement and to authorize staff to execute a development agreement was made. When discussed, council member Melanie Walters expressed that she feels this argument or this agreement means more for Cobblestone and does not do as much for the city. Ron Fruit, Karen Tepley, Tom McCarthy, Rachel Schultz, Doug Martinick, Steve Downs, and Ryan Cairns all voted in favor of moving forward with the plan. Melanie Walters voted against. The Richland Center City Council was informed that the landowner at 695 North Chestnut Street was given 90 days to raise the home on the property. The 90 days ends Saturday. The council instructed City Administrator Ashley Oliphant to seek bids if it has not been raised by Saturday. The city can then charge the landowner. The council also directed Oliphant to look into restructuring the tourism department to make it its own entity rather than a branch of city government. In other action, the council approved the denial of a conditional use permit by Guru Ramdas Shah, LLC, for property on Sextonville Road. An amendment to consolidate and clarify which city officials are authorized to issue citations by creating a single comprehensive list in the municipal code. The list of authorized officials includes the police chief and police officers, zoning administrator, director of public works, city attorney, and city administrator or their designee. An ordinance amendment of the municipal code relating to forfeitures for public nuisance finding and establishing a clear forfeiture amount. a revised agreement for the co-responsibility of Simon's Recreation Complex with the county, a contract with Chrome Fireworks and Displays LLC for city fireworks on June 27, 2026, temporary alcohol beverage licenses for St. Mary's Parish Festival on September 20th, for the Greater Richland Area Chamber Suits and Sequins Wine Walk on September 26th, and for the Richland County Performing Arts Council Central Avenue Fall Bash Block Party on September 27th. Richland Center City Mayor Todd Coppernall also reported that work is beginning on the additional two buildings at Panorama Estates. The Reedsburg Area Medical Center has announced that the RAMC Birth Center is now a locked unit. All patients and visitors will require staff assistance to access the unit. Patients and immediate family members will be provided access tools by birth center staff after admission. Visitors must push the red push for help button at the unit door for admission to the unit. Bob Van Meteren, president and CEO of RAMC, said, quote, "The safety and security of our patients is one of our top priorities. Locking the birth center unit is an important step that we must take to ensure safety for our youngest patients and their families. All patients, family members, and visitors will be welcome, but we must take precautions to protect our babies. We appreciate everyone's understanding and patience as we take these steps," end quote. The RAMC Birth Center is located on the second floor of the hospital section of the facility. Again, admitted patients and immediate family members will be provided tools to access the unit. Visitors must press the red push for help button at the unit door to be admitted to the unit. A shed fire last month has led to an ongoing investigation, which includes underage drinking and setting the record straight. Iowa County Sheriff Michael Peterson reports that early on August 17th, around 1:05, the department was dispatched along with multiple fire departments to a structure fire in the town of Pulaski, just west of Avoca. Upon arrival, responders observed evidence of a large underage drinking party at the property, though most individuals had fled prior to law enforcement's arrival. It was also learned that a disturbance had taken place. However, those present did not provide names of individuals involved. A video later provided to the sheriff's office by WKOW has been reviewed and is assisting investigators. Through the investigation, officers have learned that the individuals are using social media platforms to announce large underage drinking parties with little regard for supervision. These gatherings have drawn many people from across southwestern Wisconsin, most of whom did not know each other. All of these parties occurred at different locations. On July 27th, the Iowa County Sheriff's Department received a report of a disturbance at an underage drinking party south of Highland. It is alleged that a 14-year-old victim was associated with the disturbance, but when law enforcement arrived, the crowd dispersed and no cooperation was received. During the ongoing investigation, it was revealed that there was an unreported underage drinking party southwest of Highland on August 9th. It is alleged that the same victim was associated with a disturbance, which included an unreported battery to a female. On August 17th, during the initial response to the fire, the victim was one of many interviewed by investigators from the Iowa County Sheriff's Department. The victim reported that someone attempted to jump him, causing him to run from the area. According to the victim, the aggressors were targeting his friend, who was already at the party but left before the incident. The victim confirmed that he was not struck, no property was taken from him, and he was not injured. On August 22nd, the sheriff's office received a video from WKOW, which has since been circulated on social media. In the report from WKOW, City of Platteville Alderperson at Large, Lynn Parrott, stated that the boy told his family that he was a target because of the group mistook him for someone else. This statement corroborates the findings that the incident was not racially motivated, as many believed. An African-American male who was present and later interviewed also provided a written statement to the sheriff's office shortly after the WKOW news story. In his statement, he confirmed he was a direct witness to the incident, helped break up the fight, and at no time heard African Americans use racial slurs. He added that there were multiple African Americans present, including the one recording the video, and reiterated that the conflict was not racially motivated. He explained that the confrontation stemmed from the victim's prior behavior, including attempting to steal a firearm, assaulting a female, and making threats rather than race. Authorities have made multiple attempts to re-interview the victim to obtain final critical details of the crimes, but the victim's family has not made him available. They report the most suspects have been identified as interviewed. However, the victim's account is essential. The sheriff's office has even reached out to the family's attorney in an effort to arrange an interview, but are still waiting to hear from the attorney. Sheriff Michael Peterson reports that the preliminary investigation shows that this incident was not racially motivated, contrary to a WKOW news report that claimed no other African Americans were present and that the victim was targeted solely due to race. However, this does not in any way excuse the actions of those involved in assaulting the victim. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office recognizes the community's concern in this case and wants to assure the public that it is being taken very seriously. Anyone with information or tips regarding this ongoing investigation is strongly encouraged to submit them through the Iowa County Sheriff's Office mobile app. Scammers can use various forms of technology to fool and trick consumers. The use of artificial intelligence technology has become popular to help disguise a scammer's identity. There are four true uses of AI technology. The first is chatbot text generation. Michelle Reinen is with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection.
Scams that involve direct messages or social media posts may use this text generation or chatbots. Scammers use them because it allows one scammer to target many people at the same time, and the AI has made them capable of dynamic conversations. So consumers should remember that whether they are texting, emailing, or speaking with a stranger on social media, there is a chance there isn't even a human on the other side of this conversation. It could likely just be a chatbot that they are engaging with.
The second true use of AI technology involves the use of images and videos.
Scammers use AI to create very convincing profile pictures or brief videos to enhance a fake social media account. This way, that reverse image search won't turn up any results. And we've talked about that being a tool that consumers can use to identify that they're engaged with a scam. But now that they've created this new method, it makes that tool obsolete in some ways in helping with the identification. So some scammers use the artificial intelligence to create a misleading image or video of a product they're selling online in order to make it look higher quality or more appealing than it really is. So remember, even if a photo or video looks real, more verification is going to be required to really give you confidence and boost that it is real.
The third is used to alter an image in a video.
A deepfake is specialized technology to replace a person's face in a video with a different face, and it can be used by a scammer to trick individuals into believing they're seeing someone familiar or trustworthy. So deepfakes have been used to copy a celebrity's likeness and endorse an online product. So think a talking head overlay, if you will, but they can also be used to copy the face of someone that a consumer knows in real life, like a friend, a family member, a coworker, or even a boss. So some deepfakes can even work in real-time video calls and be those talking heads where it's just that image you know and trust talking at you, but that's not who's really there generating the information.
Michelle Reinen says that the fourth type of AI technology use can make a voice sound like someone you know using voice cloning.
It takes just a few seconds of audio of a person's voice, and scammers can run it through this AI program and convert that voice to sound like the cloned voice or make that cloned voice read written text. Here, consumers need to have that awareness that an audio of a person's voice can be downloaded off social media or captured during a phone call and then used to trick friends and family members into taking action. I mean, again, remember, it can be programmed to read a script. so they can really navigate an entire conversation with just a few seconds of that original audio file. It can be very hard to detect over a phone call. And when used in combination with a deep fake, again, that video technology where it looks like you're engaged in a video chat with someone, this can be very difficult to identify, and additional verification will be needed for consumers.
If you suspect or are a victim of a scam using AI, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. The Richland County Fair kicks off today. It's entry day for all livestock until 4. Swine must be penned by 2. Dairy need to be in the barn by 5. A vet check will be held at 5 o'clock. An opening ceremony will be held tonight beginning at 6 in front of the fair office. The event will include recognizing some special people. Animal showings start at the Richland County Fair tomorrow. Steve Banker is a member of the Meat Animal Committee.
As far as showing goes, sheep and goat show is Thursday morning. It'll be sheep followed by the goats. And then Thursday evening, we have the beef heifer show. Friday morning, we kick it off with the swine show, followed by the beef steer show. And then Saturday is the dairy show in the morning, and then followed by the meat animal sale, kicking off there with the reception at 4 o'clock.
Mr. Ed's Magical Midway opens at 5 with a wristband special for $30. The grandstand show on Thursday night at 7 will be a lumberjack show. Admission to the fairgrounds is free. Grandstand admission for the lumberjack show is $5. The 2025 Richland County Fair will continue through Sunday, featuring many animal and non-animal exhibits, life-size balloon creations, food, and refreshments.